all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name
forevermore. Well, welcome everyone. Good to see you online. Praise God. And I trust that you've all had a blessed week. Well, I would like to just share with you and exhort you today in the Word. And I've got a title for our teaching. We're calling Our Witness to the Spirit. Our Witness to the Spirit. And this is one of the reasons why God is preparing sons for the last day, why he wants maturity from the church. It is a growing up period, because this is vital for the overcomers. Our witness to the Spirit of God is absolutely vital. It is our discernment, it's our relationship with Him, it's whether we walk in the flesh or in the Spirit. It is knowing what the Spirit is saying, it is our discernment, it is our testing, it is absolutely vital. And we get strong and clear indications of this in Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 12 to 17. Romans chapter 8 and verses 12 to 17. And this is where sonship is formed and comes through the Spirit. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." In many ways, your walk and my walk over the years is for the purpose, of course, not only for salvation, obviously, but that we would become joint heirs with Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that this would not just be something theological, a study, or a sermon, but that it's actually a reality. It is made real to you. It is made real to the body of Christ, the overcomers, the church in these last days. And that is the importance. And that is why we need the baptism of the Spirit, in which he can fulfill and do this. Now, as it says in verse 16 in particular, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children or sons of God. You see, God isn't going to allow the Holy Spirit in you to witness against his word or his will. And that is absolutely paramount. If there's to be any spiritual maturity and growth within us, then the Holy Spirit is going to really work on us, where he is not going to allow his spirit to witness against his word or will. And we have to learn by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to learn his will and to walk in his will and to obey his will. And this takes a lifetime. This takes maturity. It is a growing up time in which we start to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We've clearly shown you in verses 12 to 17 of the results that if you continue to walk in the flesh, you die. This is why, to put it bluntly, crudely, the flesh in us has to be killed. And the only way that that can be dealt with is we too take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. It is death to the self-life. In other words, we know nothing unless the Holy Spirit reveals. We think we might know, but we know nothing unless it is divinely given to us from above. And God will not witness the Spirit that is not in his word. That is why we have the word of God, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. Why is it then that he doesn't reveal himself in that sense? We're talking about the witness of the Spirit. Well, he can't, because you are in the way as long as you don't yield and surrender. The reason that God cannot reveal more of himself to us is because we are the problem. We get in the way. That is why he's ever working within us, that we decrease, that he increases. For that very purpose. That is the deeper life. That is the way we mature and grow as sons and daughters of God in these last days. As I've said so often, there's so much immaturity, so much childishness in the house of God. Christians don't want to grow up. They don't want to become responsible. They don't want to become pillars of the church. They want to be babied. But God isn't doing this anymore. It is time to grow up and mature in the faith. You see, those who don't really hear and witness to his Spirit, often they're bargaining with him. In other words, I'll come to you if you give me the witness, if you give me what I want. You see, so often as Christians, it's what we want. It's what we want to believe. And that's how we approach the Lord. And God is not going to reveal, give revelation to his word that is contrary to his word. And that is why he gives us the witness of the Spirit. You cannot witness to God that is not revealed in the Word of God. And yet many try to do it. And this is why you get religions, you get cults, people who go off the rails because they want it their way. They want God to do it their way. And it's just not on. God is sovereign, and we have to do it God's way. He is also Lord of our life, not only just Jesus' Saviour, but Lord also. And that is why he's ever working to get us out of the way. Many times it's just wrong thinking in the mind that gets in the way. that God has to work that deliverance. And that's why we say, keep coming, keep listening to the word, because that is our deliverance. In other words, God creates and works a right thinking within our heads. You see, God so often has to remove wrong teaching, wrong seeds that have been sown into us. We're like computers, I've said so often. If they're programmed wrong, then it will keep coming up. It will keep coming out until it is rectified. That is why the Word of God says that we are to put on the mind of Christ, to cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, those wrong things. In other words, to cast down those arguments. We argue in the mind. We listen to the enemy. The enemy plants into the mind wrong thinking, wrong things about the word, misunderstanding. This is why we need the anointing, the Spirit, in which to teach us the word of God. We do not understand the word of God unless God opens our eyes to understand it. We are blinded to it. We will always intellectually interpret it. But intellectualism does not interpret the word of God. It is supernatural, this book. And we need the Spirit of God in which to teach us. That is why we have to be born again, made new, made right, in other words, having that right stand before Almighty God. Else we do not know. We think we know. Many people have laid their life down thinking they do it for God. But sadly, in history, it shows us a lot have not. That is why we have to be delivered. And that's why the deeper life, the nature of the deeper life teaching, is to deliver us, to have a right mind and a right thinking, so that this witnesses to us, the Spirit witnesses. We know within our hearts, because faith is in the heart. It's not in the head. And that is why the cross also is so essential, because the cross that we too are to take up and daily follow the Lord is to deal with this self-life, you. In other words, it's getting you and I out of the way that God can take over. We are the problem. And until Christians start to bow the knee and humble themselves and acknowledge this, we will never see major breakthroughs. We'll just have these divisions, these denominations, this religion that never glorifies God. But praise God, we are witnessing to the Spirit. We are witnessing to the will of God and what he wants and what he requires of believers. You see, when we yield and when we obey him, he immediately witnesses to you, not to you personally, but when we obey him and when we yield, he witnesses to himself who is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He witnesses to you. That's what he's doing. The witness of the Spirit is not just you. It is witnessing to the one who resides and lives within you. He is not going to witness that is not his will. He does not witness to heresy, to man-made religious things. He will only witness according to his word that is within you. It's his nature, in other words, all that he is. Jesus Christ has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is now risen, he is glorified, but he resides and lives within each of us now. the very same Jesus Christ, the one who walked the earth, whom the church, the apostles whom they saw, is the same one who lives, resides in us today. No difference. So why do we try to make him different? Why do we try to make him so religious, so ornate? He's not. He's that carpenter. He is that child born in a manger. He is that one who felt pain, who cried, who also hungered, who knew rejection. He's still the same one who lives, resides in us today, now, this moment. And he witnesses to himself. He cannot deny himself. And how do we know? We know as we have the Word of God, and as our faith meets the requirements, witnesses to God's Word, to his Spirit. That is why Jesus was the Word made flesh to us. You see, if God lets you witness to the Spirit first before yielding and obeying, it will be of you and unbelief and emotions. And that's why he has to work in us. This is why we walk each day by faith, meeting the tests and the trials of faith for that very purpose, so that the witness of the Spirit will be of him. Because if God lets you witness first to the Spirit before any yielding or obeying, then it's going to just simply be unbelief and emotions. And God doesn't do that. To yield to the Spirit, to witness to the Spirit, is free but not cheap. And that's the difference. You see, we have to surrender all our reasoning, all our arguing, all what we think is of God. We have to surrender that, because if we don't do any of this, then it's a sign we do not respect God. We don't respect his way. We don't respect that witness of the Spirit. And we do it, unfortunately. So you see, God knows exactly how to work in us so that we can witness to the Spirit. We can witness to the anointing. We can witness when the Word of God is being preached, or when God is guiding and leading you, or he's showing you something, or whatever it is. It's that witness. And so whatever you have witnessed this week, by God's grace and mercy, remember this. Praise God, I'm witnessing what the Spirit is saying, but that witnessing, God's had to work that in you and me. And that has not come cheap. And that is why we give him all the praise and all the glory. And that is why we worship him. Because he works himself in us. That's basically what he's doing. And that's why when the Spirit is working, it so often doesn't make any sense. Our whole walk of faith very often doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. And of course it is. The mind cannot reason and fathom it. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows his ways? His ways are past finding out, Isaiah tells us. And so the only way we know his ways, the only way we know it's the Spirit and what he's doing and saying, is by the witness of the Spirit. As he's witnessing this to us. And this witnessing isn't just some emotional thing. If left to ourselves, that's what it would be. No, it's not. When God witnesses to you, he witnesses to the heart, to the Spirit. There is a knowledge to that. There is an understanding to that. This is why I always say your understanding of God, your understanding of the Word of God and how God works and everything doesn't start in the mind. It starts in the heart, in the Spirit. That area of mystery that it lies within us. We don't really know where it is. We can just point to the heart because that's our understanding. But there's an area of mystery within each of us where God resides and lives. And the only nearest analogy we can give to that is in the heart. But it's there that he teaches, he educates us, if you like, in his word. And then our heart, the spiritual side of us, the brain, the mind, I don't know how God does this, but we then begin to assimilate, we begin to understand, we begin to have our eyes open. How often have we said, praise God, now I see. Why have I not seen that before? Well, because it's how God is opening your eyes and ears and heart and understanding to know. That is the witness of the Spirit. That is God witnessing to you. But he's had to do a work in you to bring you to that place. This is how he does it. This is where our discernment comes from. This is where testing comes from. You cannot reason this just simply in the mind and the intellect. It doesn't work that way. And this is why people who suffer with a lot of pride and arrogance cannot discern, cannot really understand the word of God. It is the humble, the base, the lowly, the babes, the foolish of this world, the rejected of this world. They're the ones who witness and understand the Spirit. See, only God can transform perfect faith into reality to us. That's why faith comes by hearing the word of God. What you're really doing, yes, God is using the brain, but it's within the Spirit, the heart, where we hear. And that is where faith is translated into reality. Let me well assure you that any mustard seed of faith that is in your heart, God will translate that, he will use that, and your faith will become reality. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It will become reality. You will possess it, you will have it. It will be the witness, it will be the blessing, and so on. You see, God is working on your behalf to make faith real to us. This is why our meetings are so important, because he's brought us here today. He's speaking to us, encouraging us to make your faith, my faith, real. He wants it to work. He wants it reality to you, because that is the witness. If your faith isn't real, then what witness do you have? We don't. God has to make all of this real to us. And we first have to get the witness of the Spirit. We have to witness to the Word. We have to witness to the teaching, to the anointing. And when we start witnessing to that, then he begins to make faith reality to us. And that is why we can walk by faith and not by sight, because that is what the sons of God will do. I read it to you in Romans 8:12-17. True faith always puts Jesus first. And we will always desire for that. We will have a jealousy within our hearts to put him first above everything else. You see, you cannot act on intellectual faith. We've all tried that in the past, haven't we? And we've fallen flat on our face. Because the reason being, it will never witness to the Spirit. That's why intellectual faith is contrary to the Spirit. There's no witness to it. And that's why we falter and we waver and we're like a boat on the sea being tossed to and fro, which James speaks about, because there's no witness. It's very, very important, this, brothers and sisters. And that's why trials and tests and delays in faith educate our faith. In other words, it teaches us to witness and to discern the Spirit of truth. Only through trials and testings can we really discern the Spirit of truth. That is why we have to go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. For that very purpose, because our witness is discerned by the Spirit of truth. And we really only get that discernment is through trials, testings, the delays of faith. Because remember, when we want faith, or we want faith to operate, we want to see the manifestations of our faith, it's never in God's time. We know that one. And very often it seems as though God is just too late. Why didn't he manifest it a week ago or 2 months ago or whatever it is? That's what our logic, our intellectual mind and circumstances tell us. But you see, God doesn't work that way. And therefore we have to have the witness of the Spirit for God's time and manifestation. In other words, I am believing for my healing, but it has not manifested yet. But I witness to the Spirit within me. He's still working. There are still some things that I have to go through and experience with regard to my faith so that I witness to what God's doing. How often when you are believing for something, particularly let's say in the area of healing, because that's always the big one when we're going through a real physical trial. How often have we found that we're believing for the healing of this trial, what I'm going through, where you find that through that time, God's actually dealing with something else with you. And it's like you're saying, well, Lord, I've said to you, I need healing in this area. Why is it I'm having to go through this? Or why is it you're dealing with this area? That's not what I've asked you to do. And God is trying to get you to a place where you begin to witness to the Spirit that he's got to do that work. This is why I always say what we're believing for, say, regard to healing, I've always said to you, when God manifests your healing, you will experience and see that the picture is much bigger than what you can see. It is always bigger. It always involves possibly other things or other people. You see, it is about God glorifying his name. And so often when he manifests his blessing in and through us, physically that is, you will see the glory of God. And the glory of God is always bigger than just your healing. Because that's so important to you. That's what you're honed in on. That's all you can see. But God has got to get us to witness within these trials, within these delays of faith, to see that he's working in other areas. That is That is why he's working deliverance in you and I. And that's why sometimes it takes a long time, it seems, to manifest, because of the other work he's doing in your life, delivering you, healing you. For what purpose? For the witness of the Spirit, so that your faith, my faith, is real and not just emotional or feelings or hoping or a good idea, which sadly we've all fallen into. Can you not begin to see now how great our God is? And the work that he's doing, it's far greater and bigger than we ever realize. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We still so limit God, even in our trials, because it's still all about me and I'm hurting and so on. But it's so, so much bigger, brothers and sisters. I believe a lot of our trials and our faith and everything is also connected with the saving of our loved ones. I've witnessed to that many times by the Spirit as he shows this. And that's why the Spirit will always witness to God's redemptive work, will always witness to Calvary and what he has done for us. That is why I always say everything that God's doing in your life and my life in nature is redemptive, because it always points to the blood of the Lamb. It always points to what Jesus accomplished at the cross for you and I. Every trial, every confession of faith, everything in our life appeals to that, to Calvary, to the cross. And that is the good news of the gospel. The Spirit only witnesses to his own nature, to his own work, to what he has done, to the finished work in Christ Jesus. Everything witnesses to that. It doesn't witness to you. It's not witnessing to whether you're having a problem with God or not, or you've fallen out with him, or you're having problems believing the word or whatever it is. Yes, God works with us, he does. But the witness is always to him, to his own nature, to his will, to the word of God. And that's why he deals with us, the self-life. He gets that out of the way, so that the power and the glory of God can take over. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we are to experience some of God's glory and blessing, which is going to be awesome. When God takes over, when the Spirit takes over, there is something very awesome about it. We know that Moses, he wanted to see God, but God had to hide him in the cleft of the rock as he passed by, and he could only just see the behind as he passed over. That was enough. It would have burnt him alive. He wouldn't have been able to stand God's glory, his presence. And this is what he's doing with us, because he's going to pass by soon. That is his fellowship with us. He said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. But there is so much more he wants to reveal of himself to us. But he got to deal with us first, because we get in the way. And that's why the Spirit only witnesses to his own self, his own nature, to the word of God. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. You walk a complete, total faith walk. Let the Holy Spirit work that. He makes no mistake over each of us. No, if you try to understand this intellectually, it will never make any sense. But he is doing it, and he's made no mistake. I can assure you. He started this work, and he's going to complete and finish it. Let's look at a few scriptures before we close on this to just confirm what is being said today. For example, you know this well in Job 13 and verse 15, the book of Job 13 and verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is what Job said. It's interesting, that's one of the greatest faith statements. Well, even if he slays me, he takes my life, I'm still going to believe him. I'm still going to believe his promises. Now, of course, Job went through a huge amount of trial in which to confess that. See, although that was free, it was not cheap. And that is the work he's doing through you and I as well. We will get to the point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is faithful. God is true. Whether I see it in this life or in eternity, whether he slays me or whatever it is, it doesn't change my stand, my belief, my love for the Lord. That is the ultimate work of faith he's doing with each of us. You may say to yourself, well, I don't know how he's going to work that one in me. Well, just believe. He's working it. He's working it. What does it say in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts 5 and verse 32. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So there we are. They knew that the Holy Spirit was given to them, baptizing them to witness to God's will, to God's word. And they're facing persecutions, these early Christians. Could we say that this coronavirus, this plague, is God's will for a work that he wants to do, to get a remnant to believe, to get people to humble themselves, to bow the knee in his presence? Whenever God sends judgment and trial, it's always for the purpose that some will repent and believe. That is the purpose and the aim of it. Let God's will be done. That is what I say in all of this. How about John, the Gospel of John? John 16. Verses 13 to 14. John 16, verses 13 to 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That is the witness, you see. He's speaking to us. He's going to show us things that are to come. Why is it things that are to come? Because he's the God also of today, now. You and I, we need to hear him speak today and what is also coming. And this is what he says. He will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All these things the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. There is the witness of the Spirit. It is a declaration. He is speaking to us. But we know all of that, of course, takes time. We're all in growth. We're all growing and maturing. We are a work in progress. That is why we have the Revelation 12 of the man-child in the womb of the woman, maturing, coming to that place, ready to be birthed. So it's the same here, the witness of the Spirit. He cannot tell us everything straight away. We couldn't bear it. But as we develop, we mature, we grow, and we go through our trials and tribulations, so then he's able to speak to us, and we have that witness of the Spirit at the right time. This is why I said earlier, so often we, you know, suddenly it's like our ears and eyes and hearts have suddenly been open. You think, gosh, where have I been all these years? Why is it now suddenly I understand, I can see? Because that was the right time for you to be able to see. That is why it wasn't right yesterday or last week or last year. It's right today, now. Because he's the God of today, now, also. He's not only the God of the past or the future. He's alive today, now. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. It's vital. And that is why he gives us the witness of the Spirit in order to be able to hear that. And finally, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, you all know these very well, these scriptures, but they're worth hearing again. In Galatians 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Who has sent it? He has sent his Spirit. He has made his abode in you for the purpose that you can have the witness of the Spirit. This is why you have to witness what he's saying, and God will not let you witness that is contrary to his word or his will. And we've all tried to do what we want to do in our own way. But you see, you don't get the witness to that. This is why our faith, our believing in the promises of God's word, has to be witnessed to. Faith has to be witnessed in the heart. It isn't just in the head, intellectually. And that is what he's teaching us. We walk by faith each day because of what is in the heart, what we witness to. We cannot walk by faith each day what is intellectually in our heads. If you do, then you are just religious and you don't really know God. Our faith has to bring us into a personal experience and relationship with God. So in other words, you know when he's present. You know when he's speaking. You know how he's feeling today. You know his concerns over some particular thing or whatever it is. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that I will see him at that last day, says Job. In his trials, he experienced God in a profound way. And that is why we go through our trials and tribulations, because it is so instrumental for our witness to the Spirit. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. You again have spoken into our hearts, our lives today. You're always helping and encouraging us. Where maybe there are questions or things that we're not always sure or understanding, You have a way in your time of showing how it can just drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart. Father, we just thank you for the way you work. We thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. You're always attentive. You're always there, ready. Wherever we are, whatever we do, you're always there. You never leave us or forsake us. Lord, forgive us how we can be so disrespectful to you at times. But Lord, we do it because our eyes still need to be opened. We do it because of ignorance. It's not something we willfully want to do. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to respect you. We want to do everything and more that you are working and doing within our lives. And above all, Father, as we've heard today, we want to witness to the Spirit. That is our heart's desire. And Lord, we know that through what we've heard today, you will work that within us. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, thank you again. And it's been a blessing to share with you today.
The Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Great reward.